Good morning, everyone. I'd just like to offer a little piece of reflection and encouragement before handing over to Catherine. And just draw attention to that one of the really important aspects of practice, one of the parts that we want to be caring for in our Dharma practice is our engagement, interest, commitment, what we could say our sort of fire for the practice. This is one dimension of our practice that we're tending for and cultivating, both on retreat and off retreat. And it can be especially important on a slightly longer retreat like this. Often the motivation and enthusiasm is sort of, it's naturally there at the beginnings of things. It sort of shows up. It's like, yes, the retreat is starting. We have a whole week ahead and it can be there in a fuller way in the beginning. And what can happen is throughout the retreat, as there's hindrances and difficulties, that can impact on our desire to show up and willingness and engagement. And I know from myself, from longer retreats of several months, several longer retreats, that this engagement, this quality of motivation and sort of desire to practice and fire, it's one of the things that impacts so deeply how the retreat experience shapes up. Really, it's a key ingredient in fabricating each moment of how we see and sense our time here on retreat. It can be such a different, you know, we enter into different worlds of retreat. The whole retreat gets fabricated in a different way depending on this quality. And just briefly, I'd like to offer some things that can support us, support this fire, support the enthusiasm and the motivation, and help cultivate it. So one thing that can be helpful is getting more deeply in touch with the question of, why am I here? Why do I want to practice? And really taking that on as an inquiry. I know for myself that question can arise from a place of doubt. It can come up like, why? What am I doing here? It's very important, the tone of voice and the quality of inquiry, of that inquiry. What am I doing here? Why am I here? And introducing that, holding that as a kind of an alive question, letting yourself using that question to remind yourself of some of the beauty or some of the interest, some of the motivation. This is part of what we're working with. And really, you can give that time in the sittings, in the walkings, and feel that, having the energy body engaged with that inquiry question. Do you want to add something? No. And we could say this is a question that helps bring alive the fantasy of the practice. So we often have a fantasy of what is the practice, and sometimes that fantasy will be alive and engaging and sort of pull on the imagination. It feels I'm in touch with it. I'm in touch with this fantasy and the possibility of samadhi or exploration or the Brahma Viharas, and it's like that image is alive in the imagination that pulls us and calls us to practice. Another part that we can tend to is having a sense of possibility, again, sort of connected to this whole idea of fantasy or practice. So making sure or cultivating, being in touch with, what's my sense of possibility with the practice? And we heard yesterday on the recording Rob talk a little bit about trust in relation to the images, and we could also say trust is also something that we can cultivate in relation to our own practice. Saying, okay, I'm going to introduce some trust, some sense of possibility. These difficulties, these hindrances that I'm meeting, I can work with this, and there's a possibility, there's a way of encountering these in a way that allows me to deepen. Another thing that on a very sort of practical level can support the fire and the enthusiasm, and this is a little bit counterintuitive, is commitment to the schedule. Commitment to the schedule. We talked about this in the beginning of the retreat. This is part of what creates the retreat and makes the retreat and requires all of our showing up and participation and kind of creating this field of practice and culture of practice. And we'd really like to invite everyone to renew your commitment to that. Renew your commitment. It's like it's such a surprise just to show up. This is part of my practice. I'm showing up. And sometimes it can feel like, I know this also from my own retreats, it's like, it's really hard to show up. I feel like I'm just stuck. I'm in a place of stuckness. But sometimes it can be helpful to reflect, I'm showing up also not only for myself, but for others, for the whole group. I'm supporting. My presence is supporting other people's practice. It's like, I'm going to sit through this tiredness or dullness as a kind of contribution, as a gift to others, to the group. And that can shift something. Expanding the view a little bit. Engaging in the sittings and the walkings. Or sometimes I like to reflect, this is a way of, if I'm feeling really stuck and it's hard, this is a way of honoring and respecting the work of the managers. Mm. It's like they're offering their service for us to be able to practice deeply. Like they're taking a whole week, more than a week out of their busy lives just to do volunteer work and support us. And oh, this isn't...
That's beautiful. I never thought of that.
Yeah.
That's lovely.
Yeah. And letting yourself feel that, feel the generosity of that mm-hmm. service and of that movement and of wanting to create and deepen this culture of practice. It's such a rare and precious thing mm-hmm. to offer. And partly the reason why these retreats are actually quite accessible to so many people. We could, you know, if we didn't have volunteer managers, we would have to have kitchen staff, and then that's like it's a whole other sort of feel, and also practically a whole other expense as well. So people are really called to serve, to support each of us in being here. And sometimes it's like we can forget the kind of beauty of that, and it's like being in touch with that beauty. It's like, okay, it supports me, it helps me in stepping up. It's like, okay, I don't have to, this isn't all about, it doesn't have to be all about me. It's like, okay, there's all of these other beings, people that I'm also showing up for. And also, it's like, it can be a dynamic of, you know, we get caught up in the hindrances and the difficulties. We talked about them at the beginning. They will continue to show up. So if you're struggling with that, please let us know. Please let us know. Please come to us. We really want to support you. I'll be offering a group on some of those themes and issues and questions in practice. So please come to that. I'll say a little bit more about that at the end of the end of this session. Yeah, that was really, really a little reflection that we wanted to include at this point. But yeah, I will hand over to Catherine.
Thanks, you. Yeah. Okay. Good morning. Just to let you know, we'll continue that with Rob's last piece that I didn't do yesterday, just before lunch. I think we have a little slot for it there, and another message. So for now, a few things I'd like to offer, so that we can understand a little more and have some tools for experimenting with working with images. Just backstepping. Working with images is not the whole of soul-making Dharma, but developing those skills is a crucial, beautiful, contemplative necessity, as well as for its own gifts. It's not just instrumental to go somewhere else. It's its own, whole beauty. So just to give you that, there's more. But let us really find out, do our as much as we can to cultivate some skills with working with images. So firstly, if you're sitting here thinking, but I don't have images, that's okay. Remember that you can practice, experiment with anything that has just caught your imagination. We might be thinking, but it doesn't sound like all that thing Rob is talking about, or it's not what people have stood up and said, I have an image of. No, let it be your one or two or three or four, externally or internally, something has just stopped you. Even if your mind doesn't know how to make sense, that's a good start. Trust that, invite that one in, and begin the playing, experimenting. We don't have to be experts at it. We learn through trial and error. We learn through what we have come to call call and response. Call and response, you know, this is the language that's given when you teach a certain kind of song. You call, and then there's a response. Either the person responds in the same way, or it's a different kind of song where you call, and the response has a different line and a different melody. When we invite an image, be it vague or clear, we are invariably calling. What do I mean by calling? We show up in a certain way. There is a way of looking that we bring to the image in that moment. That is our call. We're never neutral. We never stand outside of the relationality. So whatever we're doing is a kind of call. Like if I'm just doubting, that's a relational move. I doubt you. That's a move. That's a call. That has a kind of response from the other. Right? So what we're doing in soul-making practice, actually, and in all practice, we're cultivating ways of looking. We're cultivating the instrument of perception to come in relationship with the image in ways that make more beauty, sacredness, richness, meaningfulness, touch us in places we never knew we wanted to be touched, open up vistas, open up ideas, many, 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 many things. I'll get practical in a minute. So the sheet that I gave you, that we gave you yesterday with the 9 steps, they are, you know, you can bring them in here, tuck them under your cushion, and if you need some support once in a while, you might find one. Oh, let me play with that call. It's not like we do the 9 steps and now we can go on to the next thing. It's like, use some of those if they are helpful. If the forgiveness step was helpful, that's a call, right? When I say in a human relationship sincerely, I'm really sorry for the ways that I've pushed and pulled you, it's a call. I'm transmitting something both verbally and from my heart. It has an effect. Now, effect, when I say call and response, or cause and effect, or even more subtly, when Yuha spoke the other day about this, that conditionality, do you remember? Because of this, there is this. How did you say it?
Yeah, when from the arising of this comes the arising of that.
From the arising of this comes the arising of that, right? There's always response. Response doesn't have to be dramatic. It can be very, very, very subtle. Sometimes you're working with images and it might be a little bit more verbal. Sometimes you're working with images and it's the subtlest shift of your body energy in relation to them. It's the subtlest shift of you remember the element humility. Something in your heart softens a fraction. That's a call. It's not like a holler in the forest. Sometimes we could do that. Sometimes it's really like that. Sometimes it's that subtlest. When there's more humility here, what arises there? And it's not like, come on, show me what you're doing. What's your response? Come, here's my humility. Show me your response. You know, do you know that when you try that relational move in a relationship, whatever, it might not be humility. It's like, come on, here's my truth. What's yours? Or whatever it is, you know. It's going to be subtle. It's going to be subtle, right? It can be that the air, barely the fraction, the fractionist, tiniest change in the atmosphere between you. But that has an effect. And basically, we get tuned, our instrument gets tuned by learning how to read response. It's not like they're responses we've ever had before. You know, so the kinds of responses that I'm used to, we might project those ones, you know, often when we come to work with image, our relational templates might show up at times. You know, I expect to be judged, or I expect that I'm not good enough to the other. Somebody's laughing. Yeah. Well, we'll see those things, yeah? And that's not a mistake. We can see, oh, look, that's the person of my history here coming and playing that relational template, yeah? And that needs care. And we'll say more about that. So call and response. Somebody wrote a note. How do you read response? Think of it this way, that we, by our willingness to open to the silence, the image, the sensitivity that Yuha supported us in after supper last night, that willingness will increase our range of being able to read more. Like, we learn more words, so to speak, if we're learning to read. We learn more responses we could never have known. Very subtle sometimes, usually. Sometimes very lively. Okay, I'm going to give some examples just of people. These are from real life yogi examples, simple ones. Okay. My glasses. And most of these go in the direction of the yogi towards the image. But as the soul-making dynamic ignites, of course, if the image responds, if our energy body responds, if the sense of the atmosphere shifts a little bit, that's another call. That's another move in the field, right? There can be a move from the image. And I don't literally mean move. Sometimes they might. But something in the way they look towards you, something in a detail about how they appear. So that's why the contemplative skills, the meditative skills, we deepen all the way. This allows these relationships to deepen too. Okay, so simple things. Simple, but nonetheless needing a lot of presence. Yogi number one, the call. I notice that there is a reminder in me to care for my heart in all of this. Right? That's a move. There's an image, but as she cares for her heart in all of this, there's a response. The figure, the image, appears and touches, literally touches her heart with a finger. Yogi number two. The call. She spoke to the image and said to the image, I don't know what to do. That's quite a good move sometimes. Right? I don't know how to be with you. If that's true. Right? Yogi says, I don't know what to do, she said to the image. And there was a response. And she said, speaking to the image this way seemed to create actually a relationship that wasn't there before, that then had powerful results. Yogi number three. I told them, so this is images that she'd worked with before. She said, I told them that I know they like me to speak out loud, but I just couldn't do it right now. Right? And the response, immediately they grew brighter. The images grew brighter and more present. So can you see what's happening there? It's not like she's really like clever or anything. She's actually expressing her eros. She's saying, I told them, I know you want me to speak out loud to you right now, but I can't. But she's saying it in relationship. It's like, I want to be with you, but I don't know the means right now. But her expressing that, they grew brighter. Yogi number, whatever we're on now. The call. I thank the image and I say, I see that I am serving you. I am somehow feel like I'm serving the sacred. The response, the image held their hands in a namaste, in a gesture of reverence, and the image bowed towards the yogi. The idea, another yogi. I repeated my heart wish to the image. I said, I want to find an outlet for soul. I said it about three times, pausing as my heart filled up and the verticality returned to my posture. The response. I heard, I'm not sure if it was from the image, but from somewhere, a phrase arose. Doesn't make normal sense in English, but it made so much meaningfulness to me, they said. The phrase arose. The altar of the note, N-O-T, this person was a musician, liked to sing. Last one. So this person's working with an image and they call in one of the nodes of the lattice, the one that's called unfathomability. The one that's called unfathomability. So this person says, I'm working with the image and I call in the node unfathomability, like I want to bring that to my way of looking. But there's a very weak response. There's not much there. So I call again. And it occurs to me that a sense of unfathomability might depend on the desire to fathom. And when I see this and have this insight, the eros ignites, right? It's not just, oh, and what, it's unfathomable. No, I want to know more, right? Eros will do a lot in opening the whole field. So the response is that it ignites the eros and a sense of beauty. And after being with this for some time, unfathomability of the other comes online more clearly. So I'll take a question in a second. Oh, unfathomable. Ah, thank you. Yes, a fathom. Thank you. A fathom is a measure, an old-fashioned measure of depth, like the ocean is measured in fathoms. And I think there, formally about the length of a tall man. So unfathomability is that I cannot get to the bottom of these depths. It is not possible to measure this or get to even the bottom of this. Thank you. Okay. So the elements of the lattice will, I will put these. I've done them in my best primary school picture today. They can go up and we can have a few of them knocking around. There's the 28 elements. And as Rob said, you don't have to fully understand every single one at this point. They can be mysterious, and hopefully they remain mysterious. You never wrap your mind fully around these either. And technically, we could say that when you're playing with call and response, that's just being in relationship. Right? But a relationship is shaped by what is our intention and what is it we want it to go towards. Yeah, I want more sacredness, beauty, divinity. Yeah, and my bigger aim, yeah, I really want this knowledge in the world at this time. I really want to, whatever is your fire, whatever is your fantasy for love. Yes. And then we draw down into the direct encounter with the image, we find ways to sit and stand and be without pushing and pulling on them, right? And yet still with our fire of Eros. That is a beautiful creation of soul. To not push and pull upon the other, but still have a lively fire of loving desire to go further with them, with the mystery of things, with the way to be in the world, with the address in soul. Please show me how to not push and pull on you and still have my loving desire. I have no idea. Tell them if that's the truth. Let them see you. Entertain the idea that they can see you as a way of looking. You're so beautiful, I don't know if I can bear it. Tell them. I doubt this. This is really dodgy stuff. This is so weird. Tell them. But at least have a question mark. Okay. So technically what I was going to say, each of those elements can be drawn down into the encounter through a question, through a poise of the heart, like humility. You can kind of we can learn more how the heart can take that posture. Not a fake humility doesn't mean I make myself lacking. That's not humility. Humility is something that lets us actually take our seat in our full dignity, but realizing we, A, do not know the half, the tiniest corner of this, and that what I am in contact with right now is worthy of praise. We will give more examples, like those questions that are on the nine steps, or those statements, they are all, in a sense, derived from the understanding of the logo, of the lattice, and drawn down into smaller units of switching on some of those. So, for example, you can probably see the intelligences that the forgiveness isn't on there, but what does the forgiveness step, if it's working, what elements does it allow to come on? So that's the kind of thing on a technical level. Yeah. You don't have to get all this right now. Let's play. Let's get to the easel and the colours. And remembering you won't be doing this all the time by any means. The home base is the gift of deepening in samadhi, in the Brahmaviharas. Keep feeding that and let it feed you. Don't worry if your heart is closed or cold this morning. Bring that. Care for that. Maybe an image comes from that. And in supporting Yuha's reflection this morning, supporting the fire can be to find the posture that brings the most energy for you, which may be sitting, it may be standing at times. Some, there's one or two people with health issues, so you might see one or two people lying. But standing isn't only, if you're sleepy, standing is a real way to say, yep, I'm showing up here. Here I am. Or just a light guidance in today. And if now is not the moment for image for you, know that. Wisdom asks, what's needed now? Upright and gentle. Allowing the mind to rest into the heart. Allowing the heart to rest into the body. Allowing the body to rest on the earth. breathing out, sensitive to the whole body. Breathing in. Sensitive to the whole space of the body. The tone. The aliveness. Whole, pulsing, vibrating, intelligent. Field of the body. If now is the moment to work, be in relationship with image. Know that. And if it is not the moment, know that. And know what you are dedicating your attention to. What are you dedicating your attention to right now, dear fellow human? And if the mind panics and says, I don't know, what should I be doing? Then acknowledge the panickiness. The jumpiness. Or if the mind just collapses and flattens in dullness, find your fire. What brings you here? Rouse urgency. And if you are working with image, enjoy the craft. And I offer one call. You can try. If you like, ask the image, are you real? Pause and let the question land, and then ask, are you unreal? And pause. Or does neither of those words really capture the way you are? And sense the response.